Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour, and man, alive. What a difference 12 hours makes.
Crazy?
Went from 102 to 62, or whatever it is outside. It's raining here in Elk City. Some of that may have came down through the Woodward Way, and everybody needed it, could use it. So much appreciated for the rain. Sure, the kiddos out at the old Elk City Golf and Country Club. I can't imagine the madness that is the opening day of that golf camp.
Oh, boy.
Right about now.
Oh, boy.
Until this passes.
They're all hunkered underneath the
the carport.
The carport there.
Or inside the building.
Yeah. Well, how many are out there?
I don't know.
Can they fit in there?
I have no idea.
Or are they going, sorry, kids, members only.
No, that won't be happening. It doesn't open until 11 on a Monday anyhow. So feel free. Are they having to store them in the cart barn?
Oh, that's where I would go.
Maybe the cart barn.
Probably loud in there, too.
Yeah, with it raining on the 10.
Yeah.
So, good start, Alex. Good luck.
For those listening, thanks for listening. Yeah. You got nothing else to do.
What a perfect time. Anyway, you know, it is raining hard. It's good. We need it.
Oh, sure we do. Yep.
All right, coming up on the show today, we'll hit the U.S. Open toward the end. The vindication for John Rahm, the meltdowns from everybody around him. Really, really good tournament. I thought Torrey Pines held up well. After talking about Thursday's round on Friday, was it too easy? Were they shooting too good of scores? I thought it held up great on the weekend, and really brought the cream to the top with the leaderboard. Man, it was everybody you wanted to see.
That was fun.
Was there, and Rahm came out ahead. So we'll talk about that. NBA playoffs, interesting situation with who's left. Nobody that's left in the conference finals has won a title since 1977.
Wow.
So like 50-year droughts are going to be.
Who is that, Atlanta?
Probably, I would guess the Bucks.
You think the
Bucks?
Was
it the Bucks? Clippers surely haven't won. Maybe the Suns. Did the Suns ever win? Suns got beat in that classic win against Celtics.
Yeah, I don't think the Suns.
That's why I think the Bucks are the one that's won one. Atlanta back in the 50s, maybe. Anyhow, we'll have to look that up. I just saw that was the case.
It's good for the sport. It's good for the sport.
Yeah, we'll see about the rating. I bet the ratings are terrible.
Yeah, probably.
Because nobody.
Newsflash, Aaron. They are probably going to be terrible anyways.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. So we'll talk about that. Bucks get knocked out, and KD got knocked out by the knock out the Nets.
Oh, darn.
What was that, Saturday night? Then yeah. Last night, man, I can't believe the city of Philly isn't burning down with the way that their team played last night.
Couldn't happen to a better set of fans.
Man, wasn't it funny to watch, like, right after the play where Gallinari knocked it away from Embiid and went down and dunked it on the other end, they started showing crowd shots, and you could just see, like, the look in those people's eyes was an anger of which you don't normally see in the stands at home game sevens. It was beautiful. Suns win without Chris Paul in game one of the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers. Clippers closed out Utah over the weekend. Devin Booker did his best CP3 impersonation with a 40-point triple-double. Chris Paul has no symptoms, so he's hanging out in L.A. Could that be a good thing?
For who?
For the Suns and Chris Paul. With his injury history, could this end up being a decent thing to keep him from, you know, the grind?
Maybe. I mean, you can get him rest, and you're right. Avoid
team winning games.
Avoid injury. As long as he's not playing and they're winning, I think that could be a good thing. But he could lose rhythm, too.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have him to beat the Clippers at some point.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. And then what we do over the weekend, we'll hit a little Champ U barbecue up in Norman, one of the fastly becoming, like, the biggest recruiting event that anybody holds all across the country. Ask Jared if he knows.
They didn't have to Photoshop cars in their event.
No, they actually had them there.
Yep.
A bunch of the old guys showed up, or the alumni. One plumb shocking face that looks the same as it did in 2008, as it turns out. So we'll hit that. Ask Jared if he knows, does he have a bracket yet for the state tournament? That's this week, isn't it?
It is. Okay. And I do.
And I'm going to have a little PSA. Do better, parents, at youth sporting events. I'll tell you what happened yesterday. I don't know the team, which is unfortunate because I'd like to call them out.
Ooh,
for what happened.
Careful with that.
Listen. When I tell you the story.
We learned our lesson about.
Now, when I tell you the story.
Thoughts.
Public shaming should be in the equation.
Shame.
Shame. We need that little shame.
Ding, ding. Shame.
So that's what we got on the docket for today. Now, obviously, Jim not on the docket today. He's out in Vegas, so he'll be back next week. And then also next week, he'll be here on his normal time slot on Monday. And then Thursday, July the 1st, you can come hang out with Jim for a little bit. He's going to be live at Barber Dyson Ford, where we'll be live doing the show a week from Thursday, July the 1st. So you can come out and meet Jim, hang out with him for a little bit before he has to take off to get back to his radio show there at 2 o'clock. So that's going to be a good week next week to get him out here and meet some of the fine people of Western Oklahoma. Let's see. We've got the Skinny on Sports podcast on KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can hear us the show there. Also, iTunes has that and the Skinny on Sports Facebook page. I would assume that Skinny on Sports Facebook page is be where we stream to next Thursday.
Yes, I would. So, you know, we haven't even talked about that, yeah, but I'm sure
I would assume that's where it would be.
Yeah.
So if you wonder,
I think we'll have a camera set up.
Yeah,
and,
I'm sure we will.
And,
so yeah. if you've wondered what the faces look like behind these,
we're sorry.
Awesome voices. Sorry about your luck.
we apologize.
Turns out that there is that term voices or faces for radio.
Yep.
Is there for a reason.
Faces only a mother could love.
Yeah. There you go. So we'll have all of that coming up next week. The app. You can hear us on the app if you're outside the area. Download the Paragon Communications app. It's got all the radio stations down here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We're closer than we realized to firing back up with Big Elk TV for a football. All right. So here's what happened. Okay, first off, what did you do this weekend?
It was great because we had our niece all weekend, starting Friday night up till yesterday. So it was like I had three kids for Father's Day. It was great. So I just we did a lot of that. We did a lot of playing with the kids and just catering to them and make sure they all had a good time. I mean, simple as that. We had for the first time in a long time, we didn't have anything to do. You know, no tournaments, no games, nothing. So that was it, really. We went to the park on Saturday night, rode the carousel, and did some putt-putt, and picked up some food and went home, ate it, had a little movie night. And yesterday was great. I woke up to, not just, like I said, two kids waking me up, telling me Happy Father's Day. I had three of them. It felt nice. Like I had three kids. I had breakfast in bed.
We got some cousins in town this week as well.
Oh, good.
For the golf camp.
Good.
From now till Thursday.
They stay at your place?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Twins.
How old?
9 or 10. Right there close to Wyatt.
The important thing is, I always say, I have no problem watching kids as long as they can you know, wipe their own booties.
Oh, dear.
I don't want to do that.
Whoa.
I don't want to change. I'm done with the changing of the diapers.
I didn't I didn't see the show taking
like,
that turn.
Oh, it's like, you can take care of yourself? Fine. Okay. You don't need any help on the potty? Fine. Good.
Great stuff. All right. So
everyone agrees with me. You know they are. They're out there going, yep, he's right. By the way, we can't go any further without me thanking you for my delicious burrito.
Listen.
If it sounds like I'm talking with a lot of food in my mouth, it's because I am.
You need to be thanking Philly.
That's right.
For the meltdown that they went through over the weekend. All right. Enough of this. I got to tell you this story.
I got to hear this story.
All right. So we were at Weatherford this weekend for the baseball tournament. Little Eagles got second. Played their best baseball of the summer.
This is the end of season?
No. We just went to Weatherford for a tournament.
Oh, just another tournament. Okay.
Yeah. And played a bunch of different teams that we hadn't seen. Only the Crushers was a team that we'd played.
Right.
They were there as well. It was fun. Our little guys have gotten way better throughout the summer, and they played great yesterday. They beat a Weatherford team in the first game, 8-0. Got that 45 million pound gorilla that has been the Elk City Crushers off of their back. Finally, I kid you not. We were kind of joking around before that game, like, you know, law of averages. Surely they can't beat us 100 times in a row. And it's not 100, but I bet you anything it was like 30.
Yeah.
For like 5 years. It's the one team that have never beaten.
Right there with you with a particular team. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it was, you know, it's one of those where it's very, very close game.
Yeah.
It could have, either team could have won. It just so happened that we did.
Great.
And it was nice to, you know, whatever. But that, and then we played an Anadarko team that hit three bombs.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm talking about over the fence bombs,
over
Jared.
The fence.
I'm not talking about inside the Parkers.
Yeah.
So needless to say, that didn't go great.
Oh, boy.
One of the kids broke his bat. He's a 10-year-old kid. 11-year-old kid broke his aluminum bat. It wasn't his either. It was his buddy's bat. As he hit it out, his bat broke.
Did tennis balls come out of the bat?
No.
It wasn't corked up? It wasn't juiced up?
No.
He just straight up smashed his bat.
He broke his bat.
Wow.
He broke his buddy's bat.
Well, he owes his buddy a bat now.
That's what the kid whose bat it was on third base.
Oh, I bet he...
And our coach was like, dude, why would you let him use your bat, man? Did you not see how hard he's in it? Anyway, that Anadarko team, dude, they were good.
Yeah.
One of the better ones I've seen this summer for sure. They're a good team. So I got second. Anyhow, but that's not the story.
Okay.
That's just stuff I promised the parents I'd say.
Well, congratulations to the
Yeah, East. It was in
progress was made.
Progress made. Everybody's getting ready for regionals here in a couple weeks.
Awesome.
So that was the 10U tournament, and everything went pretty well.
Okay.
Over on the 12U fields, though, there was a problem. So apparently there's a dad whose kid is catching, and so he's posted up, you know, right behind the plate.
Of course.
And is giving the umpire a hard time. To the tune of, the umpire tells him to stop. He won't.
Umpire
tosses the dad.
Okay.
So what's the kid's reaction? Shame? Feeling sorry for his dad? Thinking, what are you doing, dad? You weirdo?
Embarrassed.
Embarrassed. Yeah. No. His reaction is to punch the umpire three times.
You've got
to
be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. His reaction is to punch the ump three times.
The umpire that has gear on himself?
Does it matter?
Well, I know it doesn't. My point is, how stupid are you to punch? So, what happened next?
He got tossed out of the field.
The kid got tossed.
Obviously.
Too. Yeah.
You can't just go around punching umpires. But something's going wrong here. Not just on the field, just in life.
Yes.
When your reaction is that, as a 12-year-old kid, let's do better.
So when the kid got tossed, was the reaction...
We didn't
see
it.
Was everybody kind of like, did I just see that? Were the fans of the kid's team? Were like,
I didn't see it. I heard the story later on from the guy running the tournament.
Oh, my goodness.
I was standing by Jay Mack. We were talking after the Sarah Crushers game. I was going to tell his son good job. And he comes over, and he's like, you know, hey, what's up, man? How are you doing? Da-da-da. He's like, this has been wild. And he proceeds to tell the story.
Wow.
About what happened.
And you know what team this is?
I don't, unfortunately.
Know? Man, you got to find that out.
May have it right here as the old handy-dandy phone
might,
goes
we
off.
Not,
maybe not.
We might not bring it to air. That is insane. Yeah, something's going on there,
man.
Or not going on there in the home.
I mean, what?
Who thinks they can get away with that? Who thinks that's appropriate as a 12-year-old? Think, I'm going to try to punch a grown man.
I have no idea.
At a baseball game. That is crazy.
So the text that I just got brings up the question I was about to ask. Let's just pretend. Let's go to pretend land. Like, that is you and your kid. What do you do?
If I get tossed out and then my kid starts punching
What do you
up,
do?
Man. I don't know. I can confidently say my kid wouldn't do that.
Well, I mean,
you know, that's why I don't know what I'd do. I can I feel like I'm raising my kid right.
I mean, wouldn't you have to take a serious look at stepping away from the game for a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Both for yourself and your child?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. That's the way this is going to work. Maybe we should do better and step away and get more grounded or whatever word you want to use. Because and then if you're everybody else on that team, how do you not go to those two and go,
you are embarrassing us.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was asking. What was the reaction of the fellow fans or even the coach and the teammates? What was their reaction?
I'm
the coach, I'm going to the kid and go, not on my team, bud. You're out of here. And tell your dad to quit coming around. That's me.
I think you have to.
Like, you can't do that. That's not what I coach. That's not the principles I'm trying to instill in you guys. You're turning around coach or punching an ump. That doesn't happen on my team. You're gone.
Yeah, I think you have to.
You're a dime a dozen, brother. I can find someone else to slap
there's,
on.
There's
the
another 12-year-old kid. Yeah, I think that. Golly, you'd think that this morning.
Because that would teach the kid later in life. Yeah. I remember when I was 12, I got booted from a team because I did this. And I can't do that stuff in life. I can't do that in sports. I can't do that in life. People don't tolerate it. And I know we as Western Oklahomans, our values are, we don't tolerate that stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't. That's what I do if I was the coach. Now, if I'm a parent and I got tossed, I'm already dumb enough to get tossed from a game. I don't know what I'd do if I turned around and heard that my kid went and punched up. I mean,
be a pretty rough deal.
Yeah, pretty rough. Wow. Can't believe that happened out here in Western Oklahoma. Yeah.
If I get tossed and turn around and see my son doing that, DHS would get called.
Yep. I mean, honestly,
it's true.
What would you do? What feels Wyatt?
Oh, I mean,
I probably don't want to know.
Never
what
show.
Do.
you know how awful?
Probably the last game he's playing this summer.
Oh, maybe ever. but, okay, think about this, Jared. Think about it. Let's say it was me and Wyatt.
Okay.
And you heard about it last night. You know how awful this show would be?
Oh, boy.
To do forever?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Skinny on Sports. My kid punches umps. How you doing? I don't think that's the right way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that kid does not realize how much he's not representing himself.
Yeah.
Representing his dad, his mom, his brother, sister, the family name, and then the team. And then the town.
Yeah. Crazy. Yep. Crazy, crazy. Do you have a bracket yet?
We do.
Oh, tell us about it.
It is a 24-team bracket.
Whoa.
Two brackets, though. 12 on each side. See, and then the winners of each bracket play for the championship.
So, okay, because I noticed that's kind of the way that the baseball is set up, except for this year. So last year, you had two brackets. The winners would play a three-game series. For the title.
I have to look if that's
this year,
thing.
It has changed. So when you get down to, let's say you got red and blue brackets.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is.
Second team red bracket plays first team blue bracket, and then vice versa, and just single elimination.
So the top two
go on to kind of the end.
Cool.
But instead of a series between two, it's four teams and just single elimination.
Okay.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I like that. Let me see here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Sunday game. Oh, man. Some fine print. That's what they're doing here.
Okay. That's how I saw that it changed on the
number
baseball.
Number one takes on number two. You know, and then the winner of those games play each other for the state. Okay.
Okay.
So if you get top two, got a good shot. And I mean, I don't know anything about these other teams. Click on the wrong bracket. I mean, the only team we really know about are the teams that are in our league, right?
Cheyenne, Elk City,
and Navajo.
Yeah.
And Cheyenne and Navajo are in the other bracket. Us and Canute and Elk City are in the red bracket. And that's cool. I mean, Elk City has kind of turned into our cousin team, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my kid said, man, when we go, Dad, can we watch Elk City in group form? I was like, yeah, absolutely. And we should do that for our other teams, too. Cheyenne and Navajo in our league. Root them on. Makes us look good if all four of us can Yeah, go what deep if in this tournament.
Yeah, what if it's the four of y'all in the finals?
That would be really special.
That would
special.
Be pretty sweet.
That'd be pretty cool. So,
so
but
who do you play?
We wait on the winner of Davis in, is it Okemah?
So you kind of got a little bye there.
We did get a bye. So did Oak City.
Oh.
Ironically, which is weird, and I don't know how this worked out. Someone would have to explain it, and I'm sure our guy will text and tell me. But Cheyenne, who won the league, mm-hmm. did not get a bye in the other bracket. Ooh. I wonder if it was by the draw.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. I read the entire rule book the other night for other reasons, so I can kind of remember a little bit of this stuff.
Okay. So they get so Cheyenne's going to play one more game, and that's okay. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. There it is.
Randomly drawn. Yeah,
yep. That's what I assumed. I read
the whole thing the other night.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much difference there is in baseball and softball. I think it's probably pretty similar.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just random draw.
I'm going to hope the weather cooperates.
So already a win.
What?
With the drawing. Bam. Already won something.
I guess so.
How do you like it?
All right.
All right, so that'll be fun.
It's going to be a fun event.
That will be fun. So you're going to still kind of help hang out, but you're going to also be gone
all
at the same time. I mean, are you going to be doing the show with us while you're gone? Or are you going to have games then? I guess, am I going to be by myself for a few days this week or not is what I'm trying to ask here.
We'll talk off air.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to figure out what time
games
we're leaving.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how it would sound if I'm doing the show driving. We've done that before, though. You've done that before.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave you flapping in the wind, so we'll discuss.
Okay.
We'll just see what you want to do.
Might have...
Now, Friday, I think I'll be in a hotel room.
Might have special little guests.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Do better. Do better, parents.
That's insane.
Not
story.
Great stuff.
Wow.
All right, it's at the Champion Barbecue just right quick. If you don't know what that is, it's a recruiting event each summer that OU hosts a number of recruits. This one was the biggest one ever. I think there were 71 or 2 I saw on Friday.
Wow.
And the average star ranking was 4.02.
It's pretty good.
Anyhow,
I was already seeing eyeballs.
Yeah, there's eyeballs from Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
That means recruits, that means commits. But just the event itself, it always gets high marks. I read one of the national recruiting gurus says that it is fastly becoming the number one recruiting event across the country each year in, year out. That the staff does such a great job. And then this year, I think...
Didn't that thing start at Bob's house?
I think so.
Many years ago, yeah. just an impromptu small event.
Kind of.
And now it's just blossomed into this thing.
Yeah, kind of something happened to make it... even more. Yeah, so now it's just at the stadium. And this year there was, I don't remember seeing this amount of alumni back for this event. It's almost like a little bit of an added layer that was there this year with all the names that you know, NFL stars. I mean, I saw a picture on social media where he was tagged the highest paid right tackle and the highest paid left tackle in the game. Well, guess what? Both from OU, Lane Johnson and Trent Williams. Lots of pictures of different guys. I mean, I'm sure you knew who I was referring to, but there was one guy that it was like, no way. I can't believe they got him back.
No, where's he been?
And that would be one Sam Bradford. And he literally looks like he did when he played.
I know.
He hasn't aged a bit. So he was there, you know, the younger guys in the NFL now. But it led me to how many, and it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but how many of those guys there knew who Sam Bradford is?
Oh, you think if there's any kid that followed OU, they would know, you know. I mean, some would say the same thing back when we were kids. Do they even know who Billy Sims is if he walked into a room? I think I would. But you're right. But the kid you're trying to recruit from Texas who's never really paid attention to OU outside of them being on national television for a big game, that's a good question. You think they'd walk right by Heisman Park, right by his statue, and not know?
Well, considering his statue doesn't look like him, probably.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, that's true.
He was the Heisman winner, 2008?
Right.
13 years ago. So those kids are four. And the difference between him and some of those other guys that were there was his impact in the NFL wasn't much. Whereas,
other than the bank account,
you know, Adrian Peterson's damn near 40.
Yeah.
And everybody still knows who he is.
Right.
Because of the length of his career. I just thought it was shocking to see him. And two, man, does anybody know who he is? Even though he's the number one pick in the draft and a Heisman Trophy winner, he's just so unassuming. And he's not out in the public eye.
No, he doesn't want to be. Yeah. You know, he doesn't have to go out and sign endorsement deals to sell cars or anything. Because, I mean, he's set for life, it feels like, with his...
Yeah, about $200 million.
Yeah. Doesn't have to go out to autograph signing events or anything like that.
Nope.
He just kind of lives an unassuming life, I think, right now. I think he actually still lives in Oklahoma City.
I have no idea.
The last I heard.
Not even a clue. But anyway, he was there.
Or Edmund.
A bunch of those guys were there. That's
nice to see, because some people, when guys like that just kind of go away, you don't know, you don't hear anything about them, and you think, man, is he just doesn't like the direction of the program? Is he mad? Like, you know, everyone thinks Heupel, you know? Would Heupel ever come back? You know what I mean? He's not going to obviously come back for the thing like this and help OU recruit when he's the head football coach at Tennessee. But my point is, people were kind of wondering, myself included, man, is Bradford mad? Is he mad at OU? I don't think that's it.
No, he has no reason to be mad at Oklahoma.
But good for, I'm sure Lincoln Riley made the call. So, hey, you want to come on over?
Or DeMarco.
Or DeMarco, that's right. They played together.
Yeah. Might have been one of the main reasons he was there. Anyway, seems like it was a success. And like you said, there's already some of those googly eyes out there, which mean commits coming from that event. NBA playoffs have reached the conference final round. The reason Jared sounds like he has a mouthful of food is because he made a ridiculous prediction that the Philly-Atlanta series would go 7 games.
Ridiculous.
Turned out not to be,
yeah.
But it was at the time. Philly, we'll get to them last because there's so much to talk about with Philly. But Giannis, Chris Middleton, and the Bucks figured out a way to beat Kevin Durant and a one-legged James Harden barely in overtime on Saturday night. We were kind of texting back and forth with another guy, and it was just like, oh, no. When Durant hit the shot that looked like won the series, instead it was just a 2. And then in the 5-minute overtime period, Milwaukee scored 4, Brooklyn scored 2. It was just kind of a chaotic mess there for a little bit. But Milwaukee does get it done in 7 games, winning the last 2 after Brooklyn won Game 5. So that 83% Game 5 winner in a 2-2 series tie went out the window in that one. As Brooklyn finds a way to lose, and the Bucks move on to the conference finals. It was, Durant, we talked about him a little bit last week as, you know, playing without Harden in Game 5 when he had the 49-point triple-double. He was good. He was still good. Just, he made the one shot that looked like it was the biggest shot of the series, and then he missed the one to try to win it or tie it there at the end of overtime. You know, Harden, give him some credit, I guess, for playing. He's never seemed like that guy that would, you know, lay it out on the line like that, hurt, you know, and show a little bit of guts. He did. He clearly wasn't himself. I thought, you know, Brooklyn kind of, the way that they're designed, you can get pretty good performances from some of those other guys. And I thought in Game 7, you know, Blake was awesome early. And then they kind of but the way that they're constructed with the ISO nature of Harden and Durant and Kyrie when he's healthy, it kind of goes away from that team concept. And I think once we watch this Nets team finish up their run, however long it's going to be, you know who I think we're going to gain so much more respect for and admiration for?
On this Nets team?
No, a different team.
Oh.
That was able to keep what's going to bring down the Nets from bringing them down.
Who?
The Warriors. Hmm. And their style of play that continued to allow for ball movement and keeping everybody involved. You know, maybe in the last minute or two, it would be give the ball to Kevin and get the hell out of the way. And even on that team, it kind of was.
Mm-hmm.
But this one starts in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even, you know, middle third. And I think that's the appreciation for the way that, that Golden State and Steve Kerr and Curry and all that group was able to take in the best scorer on the planet and maybe ever in the NBA and have him adapt to their style and them adapt to his all at the same time. I think they're gonna have more of an appreciation for those teams, which is the way that they were able to play and continue to get everybody involved. Having said all that.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? It just
yeah.
They never ground to a halt.
Right.
Like what you kind of saw.
Well, they had guys who wanted to be a part of that system and guys that could score, you know, and it didn't help that they were healthy all the time. Not all the time. Well, when they won it all, you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, I saw a tweet and it didn't occur to me until after I saw the tweet, but man, it didn't look like Harden wanted to take the shot.
I just don't think he was healthy. I mean?
At the end, one shot he hit, like to beat the shot clock.
Yeah.
I thought, well, that's going to do it. I mean, what was that, in the third or fourth quarter?
I think it was right there at the. Okay. I know exactly what shot you're
talking about. You know what I'm talking
about?
He just threw up a prayer. I'm like, this is the Harden that they want, right? And it looked like that's the Harden that KD wanted. But there at the end, KD make a pass and Harden give it right back to him. And KD's like,
I just don't think
I've
he had it.
Done it all for you guys.
I just don't think he had it. But that's the problem, though. When everything is designed around those two guys or three of Kyrie's there, it never occurs to them, hey, what about Blake? He's 7 of 11.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just doesn't – the way that the offense is ran isn't designed to get everybody involved. Right. It's just not. And listen, when you've got those guys, maybe it shouldn't be. But the problem is – if you run into what they did here, where those guys aren't healthy, then you've got a problem, a big problem.
Yeah,
and that's just and that's what happened.
I think there will be a lot of drama in Brooklyn in the offseason.
I don't. Partly because they were hurt. That helps a ton. And so you always got that to fall back on. Well, if we had Kyrie, if Harden was healthy, we'd have won it. But the truth of the matter is, injuries are going to be such a huge thing to this team because what it took to get Harden on that team gutted their depth. And you look at the bench. You know how many points their bench scored in Game 7? Same as me and you.
Oh, wow.
We weren't even on the floor. They didn't even allow us in the building.
Wow.
None. Their bench scored none.
Yeah, that's a glaring problem.
And you know what else? It only played 20 minutes combined. Yeah, Jeff Green got 13, and he only got in there toward the end when Blake fouled out.
Right.
And then Landry Shamet played 7. They didn't even take a shot.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
Show that up.
You know, when you've got Kyrie there.
Who can you pay to come to your team?
You get the guys like Blake, the buyout guys, and – you know, they went away from DeAndre Jordan way back when, you know. It's going to be a tough deal. But that's what you get when you get three super-duper stars. I mean, you can't have it all. So the Bucks end up in the conference finals, and they're going to play the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, how lucky can Giannis Antetokounmpo get? But to be making an appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals, and all he has to do is go through the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, well, that's what Philly said this last series.
All we got to do is
just
go through the Hawks.
Beat the old Trae Young Hawks. That's it. Turns out that's easier said than done.
So Atlanta beats Philly in Game 7. Listen, give them credit, whatever there is that deserves. But they were terrible last night. Atlanta played terrible. Kevin Huerter.
Who?
I don't know. I honestly thought he was a Euro. Turns out he went to Maryland. He had 27, was 10 of 18. Trey was pathetic shooting the basketball. He did other things, though, and here's the deal. And Jimmy Jackson was hitting it right on the head. He was 5 of 23, but 3 of those makes came in the fourth quarter. Came in the last, you know, 8 minutes or so.
Yep.
A couple of assists, except the one he threw up to Capella to dunk it. Gave him a 3-point lead. Then they got a stop, and he hit a 3 right back. And all of a sudden, it was 93-87. Yeah, I mean, they won. and they got they did what they had to do. It wasn't pretty. They didn't play great, but they won. But to me, this story is Philly. And the process has gotten to a certain level. But at least at this point, it looks like they are kind of maxed out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I know the first reaction by everybody in the whole world is going to be trade Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And I understand that sentiment. When you look at him, his shooting in this playoffs was pathetic. He has the worst free throw shooting. He had the worst free throw shooting postseason in the history of the NBA playoffs for somebody that attempted at least 70. He shot 34% from the line on a minimum of 70 attempts. It's the worst ever. But the free throw shooting is obviously a huge problem, and it doesn't allow him to be on the floor at the end of games when he's your second-best player, just played year one of a five-year, $177 million contract extension. But I think you literally got to see the major flaw with Ben Simmons.
Which is?
He's scared to death to take shots. And not only shots, but dunk it with 3.5 minutes left.
Yeah.
He got away from Gallinari down the baseline, was literally underneath the bucket. All he had to do was jump up and dunk it. It was either going to be two or maybe even a chance at an and one with somebody coming over to foul him. Instead of just jumping up and dunking it, he passed it to Thybulle, who got fouled and made one of two free throws. Joel Embiid, without just running him over back and forth over the bus, mentioned that he thought the turning point was when we had an open shot, we passed it for free throws, and we made one. I couldn't agree more. That was just not just because of the sequence and losing at least 1 point, if not two, in case he might be able. Of course, he's probably not making the free throw, but just the air went out of the building almost. Like you could hear like those. It sounded like a horror movie when he passed it, and the guy. It was like, ah, no. Ben, dunk it! And it is like the confidence just withered away from anybody on Philly. And then they had to take him out after he missed one of two free throws with under 2 minutes left. It was just, I mean, you got to see the problem. He took four shots, 2 of 4 in a game 7 when you're the second best player on the team. You know how many shots he took in the fourth quarter of the series?
Less than 10.
Oh, way less than 10.
Are you kidding me? What, 5?
3.
That's ridiculous.
And guess what? Made them all.
He made them all.
He never missed a shot in the fourth quarter. But here's the problem. He didn't take one since game 3. Game 4, 5, 6, and 7 of a 7-game series to go to the conference finals. He didn't take a shot.
Why is he scared? Because that's it, right? And we all know he's a good player. It just seemed like on this stage, is he just scared? Scared to be at this stage?
Scared to shoot the ball.
You can't be scared at this level. You can't be scared at any level.
Right.
You got to want to score. That's the point of the game.
I know. And, you know, if this was 1945, he'd be the greatest point guard ever. It's all he wants to do is pass. But that's not the way the game is played anymore. No. You have to get scoring. So, I mean, I know that's going to be the conversation, obviously, in Philly right now. You've got people calling in, probably drunk still, yelling to trade Ben Simmons. Here's the thing. You know, this is like one of those perfect proof versus potential arguments. Because you know what he is? He's still just 25.
Yeah.
And I know either Philly or somebody else is going to talk themselves into, we can be the ones.
Right.
Now, on that same track.
Please don't ask me that.
Kemba Walker for Ben Simmons. Who says no?
Me, maybe?
Kemba Walker's 31, Ben Simmons 25.
I guess because it's still a sour taste in my mouth after seeing him in this series, I don't want to touch the guy.
But here's the thing about that the Thunder would be able to allow him to do that Philly can't right now. He doesn't have to be the Thunder's point guard.
Right.
He doesn't have to have the ball in his hands all the time. So then it's not so glaring that he's not taking shots when he has the ball in his hands every trip.
What's the money look like?
Similar. Very similar. It works in the trade deal. Just a swap.
Just a straight up swap.
Straight up swap. I mean, is there
it
a place?
It just doesn't feel like the Thunder thing to do.
It doesn't? Have an athletic guy that can't shoot?
No, to go
good
out,
God, how many we need?
Yeah, well, that's true.
That he fits right
true.
In that
he
model.
Fits right in. We don't need all five guys on the floor shooting. Shoot, Philly got there, and they didn't have.
They had one.
They had one guy that could shoot.
They had a guy with a hurt knee trying to be the point guard at 7'1", because the other guy wouldn't.
I don't feel comfortable with it.
Boy, I'd do it all day. I would do it all day long and twice on Sunday.
I don't think Philly would do it. They want assets.
Are they in such win now mode? We gotta win now. We got Kemba for 2 years with Embiid. Do they fit? I think they fit better. I can just see it working.
Oh, Kemba Walker looked great on that team. I just don't know if the Thunder want to do that.
We'll find out.
I don't know.
By the way, Saturday, 8 to noon, it is the – do we know how many annual?
7.
We decided it was 7th. 7th annual KECO Cool 94 Fishing Derby, 8 to noon, right here at Ackley Park in Elk City. Come on down. It's always one of the coolest events that we get to put on. All 15 years and under can fish. We'll have prizes, possibly even $100 bills if you catch some of the tagged fish that we're going to have in the pond. Or in the, I guess you'd call it pond. Not really a lake. It's more of the city pond.
That's a pond.
Seems like every year there's upward of 400 or 500 fish caught with all the kiddos in that four-hour span.
I mean, how many fish do we put in there? I mean,
oh, we put some.
I know not all of them are caught that we put in there.
Right. There's some. It seems like it's. So we weigh them, like 400 or 500 caught every time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So bring your kids out. It'll be a fun time. 8 to noon, Ackley Park, Elk City. The 7th annual KECO Cool 94 Kids Fishing Derby this Saturday, June 26th. We'll have my mind went blank. Lieutenant Edwards, what's he? Game warden. From right. The Oklahoma Department of Wildlife. We'll have them out there. They're going to put on a clinic for the kids right there at 8 o'clock.
He's listening right now going, I am.
Yeah, well, I talked to him yesterday.
Oh, good.
Asking if he was ready to be there on Saturday. Oh, yeah. I don't know if he knew what I was talking about, but he pretended like he did.
Appreciate
it. They'll put on a little.
Appreciate him.
They'll put on a display, and they'll be there to show the kids the proper way and also kind of the safe way, not only for them, but also for the fish. If you want to catch and release to make sure that the fish has their best chance of survival getting back out there after you catch them.
Man, this triggers my memory. I cannot remember who it was, but I was told it was a couple weeks ago. A father and son went fishing. The son got a little too close to father when he was casting, got hooked right at the top of the ear.
Ouchies!
They had to cut the lure and yeah. Ugh, so
that ain't no good.
Good thing Lieutenant Edwards will be there. Maybe we can show you how to safely do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never had that happen.
Once again, parents do better. Quit hooking your kids. Teach them how to punch umpires. All right, U.S. Open, John Rahm. Listen, our picks were about spot on.
Well, we picked John.
I had Rahm. You had Rahm.
Yeah.
You had Koepka. I had Koepka.
Yeah.
I had X. Can't remember who your other guy was.
You know, I wrote it down and then I didn't save it.
Anyway, we were spot on this one.
We were close. At the top we were, yeah.
No doubt. Rahm wins.
We almost got what we wanted on Sunday in a weird way.
Yeah, we got meltdowns.
Yeah.
But it was, he shot 67. He was the only player that was in contention on the back nine to not drop a shot. And, you know, I know I've been outspoken about what happened at the Memorial. His response on Tuesday pre-tournament was about as good as you could get. It's probably a good thing they asked him, 10 days later instead of right then.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and he was able to kind of gain some perspective. But basically, he didn't blame anybody but himself for that happening because he wasn't, you know, there was rules and he didn't follow them and all that. It still doesn't mean the rules right. But he had a good perspective about it, and you could tell. I mean, for me, right then, was okay. He's mentally in the right in the correct frame of mind to be able to get this done. And sure enough, he did. He was really, really good yesterday. And you cannot take anything away from him. Just the fourth guy since 2000 to finish birdie-birdie and win a major. Tiger did it at the PGA in 2000. Charles Schwartzel did it at the Masters in 11. Phil did it at the Open Championship in 13. So each major has had that happen now once in 21 years. He's just the fourth U.S. Open champ to finish birdie-birdie. Arnie, Jack, and some guy in the 20s. I can't remember what the name they said. But no one in U.S. Open history had finished birdie-birdie and only won by one shot. Mm. Jon Rahm becomes the first one to do that in 121 playings of the championship. So great kudos to Rahm.
Great putting.
I mean, those two putts he made on the last two holes were ridiculous.
Holy moly.
17 was about a six-foot breaker left to right. And if you play golf, you know a putt like that, especially for a righty, breaking left to right, it has to be the speed in the line has to be matched perfect for it to go in. And it did. And then I thought it was super interesting, the putt he had on 18. Did you hear what he said after?
No.
He referenced Lee Westwood back in 08, like when he was watching it from Torrey, and how Westwood looked like he hit a good putt, but it broke way more than he thought to the right. So he said, I played extra break because right at the end, it really broke. And even his putt, as it's going down, you know, 2 feet away, you're like, that is dead center. And it almost shot out to the right, like just a really quick break. And he said he kind of harkened back to that putt in the U.S. Open, all, you know, 13 years ago to help him with the read. So I thought that was super interesting that said that. And so, you know, Rahm's the story, but also – man, it was every guy you wanted to see on the leaderboard almost was there.
Oh, yeah.
And with a legitimate chance to win going into the back nine. And they all fell by the wayside.
Right.
You know, it starts with Rory. He misses that really little bitty one on 11, the par three, to cap a three-putt bogey. Then he gets just a horrific break on 12. He drove it in the bunker. And then his second shot from the bunker got fried-egged on the edge, on the downslope, and he literally had no chance to get that up and down. He hit a pretty decent chip from the rough and then missed that putt. So he made double there. That ended his chances. He-Man, DeChambeau, he'll blame the foot slipping, but he made a 7 and an 8, shot a back 9, 44 to fall by the wayside. Did you see what he had to say afterwards?
No. I loved watching his back 9.
I think a lot of people did too.
I didn't. No, I didn't hear
he said. Basically, he said, I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it this morning. You know, he said, you guys are going to call this a meltdown. It really wasn't. I had some bad breaks. And, you know, maybe his foot slipping on 13 was a bad break. I thought it was interesting in the coverage because I kind of had to go back and rewatch after it was over how Azinger said he got a tip from Shane Bacon, one of the other guys, that, man, people are slipping on 13. That tee box, and sure enough, Bryson did. And, you know, that Rory did earlier in the week and snap hooked it down the canyon and made a double. So I don't know if it was a new – I know it was a newer tee box, so maybe the grass hadn't come all the way where it was still kind of shiny and slippery or whatever. So that – but, dude, you shoot a 44 on 9 holes. You didn't get a bunch of bad breaks. You had a bunch of bad shots.
Yeah.
Sorry about your luck. I mean, you're hitting off a tee on a par 3 and you miss it 50 yards right. That's not bad luck. That's a terrible shot.
Right.
It was just so sickening to watch him. And, you know, Justin Leonard's going, oh, what a great perspective. What a great attitude. I'm like, what? You believe that? Acting like, oh, it's over. It's over. I don't care. I don't care that I didn't win. I don't care. It's over. I'll move on to the next one. Give me a break. Brooks, you know, he was probably on the outside looking in by the time it got to 18. But, you know, you make a 3. And that 5-under is staring at everybody in the face with you in the clubhouse. Instead, he makes bogey 6 to slip from 3-under to 2-under. You know, even a birdie maybe puts the extra pressure on everybody when you finish at 4. It just everybody kind of fell away except for John Rahm. And that's the credit that he deserves for being able to do it. Louis, man, you've got the whole world literally to the right, and he hits it in the canyon left on 17. That just can't be a shot you hit.
That I immediately yelled, why?
Yeah. I mean, it's just
– why? Yeah, go force the playoff, but you're – why do that?
Yeah, we've all been there. You know, how many times water left or water right, the rest of the golf course the other way, and you hit it in the water, yep. and that's what you say to yourself, why did I do that? That's so stupid. I could have hit it. But it just one of those bad swings at the wrong time. You know, he had a great shot up there. I can't wait to show you this weather break-in during that par putt on 17. You're not going to believe it.
Where at?
It was. I'm not sure where it was.
Somewhere
I'm trying
in the
to
country, and they decide to break in.
I mean,
oh no!
Like somebody was doing this on purpose. It was so perfectly timed, or ill perfectly timed, however you want to look at it. But
who? When it wasn't John Rahm or Louis, and at the time Brooks, when I was walking away from it, who put it in the tree?
Mackenzie Hughes. That's a cool, off the par three, stuck in the tree on 11.
Couldn't believe it.
It was kind of shades of, you know, back in, what was that, 1998 at Olympic, which is up the coast at San Francisco. Lee Jansen was behind Payne Stewart, and he had a tee shot on a par four, middle of the front nine on Sunday, and it got caught up in a tree. And they couldn't find it, and he was about to go back to the tee for a lost ball, and it fell out of the tree.
Yeah.
And he hacked it out of the rough and made a par and then went on to win.
Is there a time limit?
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Okay.
It used to be five. Now it's three. But the thing was about his, no one saw – they never found Jansen's ball in the tree. This one, they found. I mean, they could identify it. And so he would have been able to drop – you know, he was able to drop and not have to go back to the tee, whereas Jansen, nobody knew where his ball was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it drops out of the tree, and boom, that's it. So that was kind of – it could have been a pretty good parallel, but it wasn't. But no, it was a great U.S. Open. I thought Torrey held its own, you know, as a U.S. Open venue. And, you know, they didn't have to get so crazy with the golf course that, you know, that's one thing about the U.S. Open. It seems like they ruined some of the best ones by making it so hard and so fast and kind of take away the integrity of the course. They didn't have to do that at Torrey.
No.
And I thought it held up really nicely. So, great U.S. Open. John Rahm wins his first of what you would think would be many.
Oh, yeah.
But you know who else we thought was going to win a whole bunch of these? And now hasn't won in the last 25 majors now?
Spieth?
Rory McIlroy.
Rory, yeah.
You know how much money I could have won? Kind of channeling my inner Jim Traber here since he wasn't with us today. You know how much money I could have won when he won PGA in 2014? If I'd have said, ha! He won't win another one until at least the Open of 2021. Didn't happen that way, though, because I wouldn't have believed it either. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.